This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Interesting night of basketball last night. Nuggets do it again. 5-3 now without Nikola Jokic. David Adelman moving up in the rankings of my mind as far as a head coach goes. Rough go for the Colorado State Rams. They lose to a Fresno State Bulldogs team that's not great. They lose 79-69. Dug a hole that they couldn't get out of. We're going to get into basketball talk. I got Sean Keeler on later on the program from the Denver Post. Sean Payton's a jerk, but he's a winning jerk. Steve Bisciotti, owner for the Ravens, had some fascinating stuff to say yesterday. All that coming up. The whole show starts right now.
Hey, Brady.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, actually. Yeah, pretty good. Had a weird situation take place. Went to charge my phone last night and apparently did not put the little cable in all the way.
Did the Patriots beat it?
What?
The Patriots beat the Chargers. You couldn't charge your phone.
Is that really how you want to start this? Is that really? No. Wow, that was awful. Can I finish my story? Or
You finish your story and wow, I'll
Can we
I'll,
not tell a stupid joke every 4 seconds? I mean, can we not? What are you, Jerry Seinfeld? That is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now. I was talking to somebody the other day and they're like, is Michael always like that? And I'm like, what do you mean? And I think,
that, was she saying, is Michael always attractive?
Why are you assuming it's a she, first off? No, I said yes. He is always like that. And it's very difficult to live my life this way. But we find a way. Can I finish now? Can I finish the story?
Yes, you have my permission.
Went to plug the charger in. Didn't go into the phone all the way. So phone died. Alarms did not go off. Had my Football 52 podcast scheduled with Ed Lamb at 7 o'clock this morning. Get a text from the coach, the Division I coach that I just stood up, saying, are you okay at like 7? My wife walks in and says, don't you have your podcast this morning? I said, what the heck? I look over at phone and it's dead. So charging that up, then I'm texting coach. It's funny because it died, but as soon as I put the charger in, it like turned on pretty quickly. Normally, it takes some time. So miss that and miss the podcast this morning. Now, fortunately for me, Ed and I have both had these. I came in 3 weeks ago, ready for the podcast. 7:05 hits. I'm like, hey, Ed, just checking. Brady, I completely spaced it. I'm out of town. So we've both of us have done this before. And he was very generous and nice, so I do appreciate that, Mike. But I'm the jerk that stood up a Division I head football coach who sat in that podcast room waiting for me to get here. That is a low feeling. So that's how I started my Wednesday, Mike.
If you had texted me, I would run on over and I would have done it for you.
That would be, I would rather him do the interview with a cat than that happen. Then you do that. What would be your first question to Ed Lamb? No, I want you to be serious here. Don't be Michael, the stupid things you're going to say. If you're sitting down in a podcast with Ed Lamb, Football 52, next week, you sit down. I want you to take me through. How is that starting? How do you begin the podcast? Go.
How are you, Coach?
I'm good. Thanks.
That was my first question.
No, let's go through this. I'm going to be Ed Lamb here. You conduct this how you would really do a podcast. So go ahead. Restart.
How are you, Coach?
I'm fascinated by this sit down with you today. I'm really excited. I'm good. Thanks.
Okay, that sounded really sarcastic. You sound a lot like Brady today. I'm feeling.
See, you can't even do it. You can't even do it. You can't even do this role play thing.
Well, you have to be a little more down. Well, I'm very.
Oh my gosh, you would never be in charge of anything.
Very optimistic as a human.
That game over. Game over. It ended just like that. I wanted to have some fun with you, but you can't even go there for 5 seconds.
No, I would have asked some serious questions. I probably would have asked about
what's your first. Let's do it then. Stop being stupid and just do it. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So, Coach, what's going on in the latest in the? I don't know. I would have written some stuff down. I'm not one of those off the cuff people. My off the cuff stuff is just like rambly jokes. I would have written some stuff down, like, you know, about recruiting.
That is.
So, what position are you looking at to recruit the most? I understand that you have a quarterback.
That's your first question, and you're hosting the podcast. Is what position are you looking to recruit the most?
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard worse. It's not bad. Not bad. What's your follow up question?
My follow-up question would be, are you a Broncos fan? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, there we go. Eastside Chris, Brady, hope I'm taking this out of context, but Tanner hinted we are better without Jokic. No, he was joking. I heard it. But do we really have to do that? Do we really have to be those guys? You know, star player goes down, they win a couple games, and we have to go, oh, I wonder if they're better without. Do we really have to play that game? I don't know. I'm feeling feisty today, probably because of the stupid phone situation.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Nuggets did win. 122-116. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is, I'm going to say he wasn't the high scorer or anything, but Jalen Pickett, 16 points for him starting alongside Jamal Murray, 16 points. 3 assists, but man, just watching him grow into this role is really fun to see. I think we all kind of wrote his obituary 2 years ago in Summer League. He didn't have a good Summer League, and Malone wasn't crazy about him. We heard all the weird rumors after Malone was fired that he would purposely put Jalen Pickett out there, and he would organize crazy defenses to shut him down. And that was the rumor, allegedly, and we think it was about Jalen Pickett. But to watch him evolve with this Nuggets team is really fun. And the Nuggets win again, 122-116. They are now 5-3 without Nikola Jokic. So the hope was, can you play 500 basketball? And so far, they are playing above 500 basketball. I love it. The bad for me, CSU losing to Fresno State last night. Fresno State's not good. They're not very good. Cool story with Jake Heidbreder, though. He was he played for Air Force, transferred to Clemson, didn't play, then transferred to Fresno State, and has become a pretty solid player. Went to the free throw line 16 times last night, Michael. He was 16 of 16 from the free throw line. The Bulldogs only missed one free throw, and that was by Jack Manny off the bench, missed one free throw. And they beat Colorado State. The ugly first half shooting. They only made 2 threes in that first half. This is a team that was number one in the nation in three-point percentage coming into that game. But the last few games, they haven't really found that three ball. Shot 28% overall, 8 of 29. So there it is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Listen, I tweeted this out last night, Michael. Maybe my expectations were just too high for CSU because of my respect for Ali Faroukmanesh. The expectations in year one of a rookie coach in this day and age, when you have to overhaul the roster, which they certainly did, to be fair, the expectations shouldn't be anything. Are you going to be disappointed if they don't go to the tournament, which at this point, at large bid, is not happening? So you would have to win the Mountain West tournament like they did last year. That's what they would have to do. They'd have to go on a massive run like that. Are you disappointed if they can't do that? And how do you grade that for Ali Faroukmanesh? And I for me, you get one bonus year. Even, you know, some would say, well, what if you inherit a really good roster? Do you get a bonus year? I've always kind of viewed this as a rookie head coach, not a coach that's been doing it for a while and then comes over and maybe inherits a good roster. A rookie head coach should be given a bonus year. No expectations. You go out, you try to assemble a team, you start building up your culture, instilling your offensive philosophy, your defensive philosophy, all that stuff. To me, if there are Rams fans out there that are flipping out, which I don't think there really are. I think most people are logical when it comes to this. This is the coach that you wanted. They are 11-6. That's not bad. At this stage, I don't think March Madness is in their future, because they would have to get through these teams to win the Mountain West tournament. They would have to get through a Utah State team and a San Diego State team, I've watched a ton of San Diego State basketball lately. They're always on late on my ESPN Plus app, which is fantastic. They're good. It's not, at large isn't happening. We are quickly getting through, it's mid-January, Mike. It is mid-January. And the Rams, and now they have Boise State coming up on Friday night, 8:30 on FS1. It's out the door at this point, unless they run the table in the Mountain West tournament. They're not going to be an at-large team. But you shouldn't be. Once this is done, let's say Colorado State wins 17 games. 16 games. There's no part of my brain that's throwing out, oh man, Rams missed big time with this hire. I will say that I hope, and this goes for all of college sports, this is not a knock on any of the guys that play for the Rams. I just don't know these guys. You know, you just don't know them, because they're, aside from Rashawn Memba, who got his first start in a while last night, he was pretty rusty. All these guys, and I've talked about this before, are all new. Kerry Booth, Josh Pascarelli, Jevin Muniz, Brandon Recksteiner, all guys that were not on the team last year. And that's those guys are making up the identity of this team. And that's fine to have a few of those guys. It's just crazy, the roster overhaul. And again, for Ali, a lot of those guys left. Some of those guys are not playing. McConan's not playing. He's battled injuries. Kyle Jorgensen's been battling injuries. He was questionable before the game and then listed as doubtful right before. Mike Brohard would not answer our questions yesterday because he could get fired, apparently. I'll have to figure out different questions to ask Mike. I don't know what I can ask that man anymore. We'll figure it out somehow. No, I love Mike. This is just an average basketball team. And that's okay. And that's what I posted. No, there's no need to worry about this team. You know, these guys are probably going to, a few of these guys may be on the roster next year. They may not be. I mean, I think a lot of these guys are older players. You know, Recksteiner could be back. He's a junior. You know, how do you build around these guys? Muniz is a senior, so he's done. Again, I say this, who knows about the eligibility thing. Josh Pascarelli, I believe, is a junior, so he could be back next year. Kerry Booth, he's been in college basketball. Wow, he's only a junior, though. So he could be back, which would be a positive thing if you can keep these dudes, and I would imagine so. And then you really try to grow with some of your younger players like JoJo McIver, Darnez Slater, those dudes. So it's not a panic. You just have to take this season for what it is. I think March Madness would have been a monster bonus, and it still could happen, theoretically. But I have no panic or concerns about Ali Faroukhmanesh going forward. Yes, Michael?
If things keep going the same direction this year, what are the odds that CSU can win the Mountain West tournament?
Not good. Again, they would have to beat Utah State, who killed them 100-58. They would have to beat, again, stops there, but San Diego State's better than them. New Mexico's better than them. Is UNLV, who they beat, and, you know, that's still a tough team. That was a battle for them just to get that win. Grand Canyon beat them. They've got Boise State on Friday. I can't imagine CSU wins that game, and Boise State's okay. I watched a little bit of Boise and UNLV last night. Air Force, they should win. Utah State at home. San Diego's then on the road to San Diego State. And I don't know if they beat Wyoming. I don't know if CSU can beat Wyoming. So what are the odds? I mean, last year, we were kind of at the same point, weren't we? It was, let's see, this was a struggling team through a good chunk of the year. You know, they were, after non-conference play, they were 6-5. Then they went on a monster run. They start conference play 1-1. They lost, I think, a close game to New Mexico. But don't forget what they had to do in order to put themselves in a good spot for the tournament and then ultimately win it. Would they win 11 in a row? No, 9 in a row? In the regular season. They won 9 in a row, and then they won the tournament, the Mount West tournament. And, of course, we know they beat Memphis in March Madness last year in the first round, 78-70, and lost in that crazy fashion to Maryland thanks to a Derek Queen play that maybe should have been a travel or whatever, but it just brought up the feelings. I mean, Derek Queen played last night for the Pelicans. He's a good player. Had 10 points and 13 rebounds against the Nuggets, but that was how that season ended. I had a texter on the socials, Michael, say, well, the Rams are going to be fine. They just need to get... Let me see if I can read this here, because it's a good... it's a good thought, and I appreciate the thought. The Hammer. Love the name. They were average last year till they got on a run that landed them in the round of 32. They still have San Diego twice, Utah State at home, Border War at New Mexico and Nevada. Lots of chances to get good wins, but someone needs to be what Neek was last year. And I just said, brother, they don't have a Neek. Who's Neek Clifford on this team? Kerry Booth? He's had some moments. Didn't look great last night. Josh Pascarelli, who looked like the greatest three-point shooter the Rams have ever had at one point in the season. He was 1 of 7 last night. Brandon Recksteiner, I like his game. I do. But it just doesn't, it's not clicking. He was 3 of 9 from the three-point line. This is a team that, I don't know necessarily if they live and die by the three, but that three ball is very important to them. And they don't have, Fresno State has a 7-footer. You know, they're a big dude. And it's not like he dominated. He had 12 boards, though, and 8 points. He's raw, but he's a monster. That's Fresno State. So they don't have a Neek Clifford. There's nobody on this. Even when they were struggling, Neek Clifford was still Neek Clifford. We still said, yeah, that guy's going to be in the NBA, even when they were struggling. There's nobody on this roster that fits that mold, that bill. There's nobody on this roster at this point. That's not a knock. It's just it is what it is. These are all fine players. It's just probably not going to be the year for the Rams. What would this be, their fourth trip to the big dance in 5 years? That would be awesome. I don't see it happening. 23 minutes after the hour. When we come back, let's talk about the Denver Nuggets. Also, Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Baltimore Ravens, just throwing out truth bombs yesterday. It was fascinating. The most fascinating press conference I've ever watched. And I don't make a habit of watching a ton of press conferences that don't pertain to our area. But everything he said was just awesome. So we'll get into some of that. Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly, will be on. Jordan Seaton did something very maniacal, allegedly. And I want to talk about that, too. This is the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Don't you dare go anywhere.
High school basketball is on. Northern Colorado's leader in preps. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been.
We're halfway through, if some of you are participating in this, halfway through the whole dry January thing. So we're doing some interesting beverages of the week over at On the Rocks Liquor. This one is a non-alcoholic IPA from Athletic Brewing, a near beer with only 0.5% alcohol. You get all the flavor and none of the guilt at On the Rocks Liquor. Also, keep this in mind, this date. You guys like winning free stuff. It's great. On the 29th of January, their 15-year anniversary celebration, they're going to have a food truck there. The food truck will be from Bomb Tacos and giveaways throughout the day. That day, January 29th, 15 years. Awesome. I love seeing anniversaries for businesses. You know, we're in such a weird spot where we're seeing restaurants close their doors, businesses shut down, all that. I just love it when we see celebrating 15 years, celebrating 10 years, celebrating 20. It's awesome. On the Rocks Liquor, support these local businesses. And if you're a fan of KFKA, these are the businesses that support this local business. So that's how you help us. You go to these advertisers we're talking about and you frequent them. And that's what keeps KFKA and Michael roof over his head back there. First of it is text line 888-530-0043. Michael, did you happen to, I don't know if you heard, did you hear Sean Payton yesterday? Luca Evans from the Denver Post, he's kind of become a little famous in the state of Colorado just because of the abuse he takes from Sean Payton, and they were at it again. Luca Evans asking about Dre Greenlaw, and Sean Payton put him in his place, I guess. Here's that back and forth.
Sean, having Greenlaw back for this game, his ability to attack downhill and in the run game, just how big is that and the timing of it for this one?
You want him to attack downhill? Is that your, like, what do you know about attacking downhill?
That's a good point. I'm not a middle linebacker.
Right?
No.
That's right.
But against
attacking downhill.
Okay, against the run game.
A healthy Dre Greenlaw back in the game.
Third quarter.
Sean Payton's kind of an arrogant jerk. Is that too much? Is he an arrogant jerk?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. But he's a winning arrogant jerk. And he's not a bad guy. I'm not saying, like, that you could be an arrogant jerk and not necessarily be a bad guy, right? Is that fair to say, too? I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I don't think he does bad things. I just think, yeah, he's a little full of himself. And Luca Evans asking a totally logical question. His ability to get downhill. What does that mean to you, Michael? Because we're told from Sean Payton, guys like Sean Payton, since you and I didn't play, I played high school football, though. Okay? All right? Eight-man football, baby. Had a lot of touchdowns.
I played sixth grade Boom. Flag football.
Yeah.
So I pulled the flag once.
Yeah. You probably ran for a touchdown, too.
No, they wouldn't throw me the ball.
Well, were you not open, or is no trust there?
Probably no trust.
Okay, well.
I wouldn't blame them.
You were a good decoy then. But
no, I wasn't even a good decoy.
What does downhill mean to you? When we say, hey, a linebacker's ability to get downhill.
I would say go towards the offensive lineman, towards the running back.
Yeah. I just love that, like, this day and age, and this drives me insane when you hear athletes. And I get it. If there's a reason to be pissy with them, because they're telling you basically, like, reporters can do that too. They can be full of themselves and it can get frustrating. That's a reasonable question to ask. Like, what is that going to be like, having his ability to get downhill? And if Sean Payton takes that as an opportunity to put Luca Evans down, saying, what do you know about downhill? It's like when Cam Newton had a woman reporter ask him a question about receivers getting open, and he said it's funny to hear a woman talk about routes. That was sexist and awful, but yeah. This isn't that far away from that kind of approach.
There are plenty of women who know a lot about football. Like, they are experts in
women
football, and they haven't played it.
And you don't have to be an expert to share opinions. I mean, I'll tell you this right now. I don't know, and if you have called me this, thank you, but it's not fair. I'm not an expert. I watch the games just like you do. I view things differently. I am able to put my thoughts out onto a daily radio show. I'm able to do that and not run out of steam. That's, I guess, my expertise is to talk a lot. Does that mean I know a lot more than everybody? No. It might mean that my opinions, though, I have a way of putting my opinions out there that fire people up. That's what I've been told. Positive, negative, whatever. So this idea that you can't talk about sports, you can't ask a coach a question without getting roasted for it now. You know, did you play? No. Did you? When we say the new Star Wars movie sucked, did you act? Were you in a movie? When you go to a restaurant and have a steak and say it was a little undercooked, oh, I'm sorry, are you a chef? That should be a Saturday Night Live skit. So we literally can't say anything anymore. That's what I think some of these players, coaches, whatever, would rather have, is just don't even say anything. Even though fans make the game, us uneducated fans make you millions. If it weren't for the millions of fans that like to talk about this stuff with their friends over a beer, and maybe they know something, maybe they don't, typically they don't know much more than the players or the coaches, then you wouldn't be making $18 million a year. And the same goes for the media that covers you. That's how this goes. Yes, I do believe, this is why we get a lot of guests on the show. I like to get different experts on the show, whether that's beat writers that cover these games closely, or it's coaches and players, and I get their perspective. But this idea, that's why, it just kind of fired me up. This whole thing, what do you know about downhill? Come on, man. It's not like he's trying to sit there and talk deep football. That's a very common phrase in football.
I think you should get Luca on the show and then just berate him.
I'll try.
What do you know about radio?
I think Luca's handled stuff well. I can't remember what he got roasted for that one time when Sean didn't even call him by the name. He called him Evan. His last name is Evans, but he called him Evan. And what was it? Do you remember that? When he just goes, Evan. I don't remember what it was, but it was funny. And then Luca at the very end goes, my name's Luca, by the way. And Sean goes, great. Like, I don't care. Don't get me wrong. When I say Sean Payton's an arrogant jerk, I'm not saying I don't like him. I like him.
You just don't like that aspect of him.
And I don't even know if that's true. I think I would get pissed off if I was at a press conference and I asked what I thought was a very basic question and I just got torched. That would suck. And well, I do have a lot of respect for beat writers that do that and keep their cool, because I'm not sure if I could do that.
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there who don't know that much about football, who are just getting into football. And I think sometimes basic questions can be helpful, but he's got to understand, when you go to the Super Bowl, you're going to get a lot of this from fashionmagazine.com.
Yeah. How do you think Sean Payton would have reacted to, what's her name? Lynn Jones? Is that the Jaguars person? How do you think Sean Payton would have reacted to her? If the Broncos lose to the Bills and she goes into the press room and says, keep your head up, how do you think Sean Payton would respond to that?
I don't think he would have yelled at her, but I don't think he would have appreciated it.
I don't think he would have either, because some people, and I get this too, felt like it was a way of talking down to the coach, even though that was not her intent at all. But it was kind of like, you're doing good, buddy. I think, which is stupid, because that
doesn't sound like that to me.
No, some people, though, I think a guy like Sean Payton would view that as, who are you telling me to keep my head up and that I've done a good job? I know. It's like in Good Will Hunting when Robin Williams does the, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And Matt Damon's like, I know. I know.
Not your fault.
I know.
Not
that,
your fault.
That would be Sean Payton. I know. And then he would break down. Mike says, Sean Payton is not a good person. Everybody wants to forget that this is a guy who coached the team that had bounties on the other players. Maybe a good football coach, but not a good person. Well, there's that.
I choose to ignore that.
No, I don't. That was
back then. He learned from it.
Well, let me say this. It's not just that. It's not just Bounty Gate. It was, he left the Saints when they were in cap hell and then said, he took off for a year and then was like, yeah, I want to get back into coaching. So those were the two reasons I didn't really want Sean Payton. Sean Payton was never a coach that, like when I talk about Mike Tomlin, and I'm always thinking, oh man, I love that guy. So much respect for that dude. Certain coaches I like. Sean Payton was never one of those guys. That was never one where I'm like, man, I root for that guy. So when it was rumored that he was going to go here, and shout out to Tanner Schwinn, he called that, I didn't want to trade a first-round pick for him either. That was part of it as well. But now that he's here and the Broncos are winning, You deal with it. He's not my favorite Broncos coach. Far from it. But if he wins a Super Bowl, kind of has to be, right? He has to jump up there.
A lot of things will be forgiven if you win a Super Bowl.
All is forgiven if you win. People put up with a lot when you win. When you start losing and you have to listen to Sean Payton biting people's heads off, then that becomes a little stale.
You know, it's a good thing to remember. We don't like a lot of things about people, but I'm going to be honest with you. If the coach was Air Bud and the Broncos won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't care. I would just care that they won the Super Bowl. I don't care who the coach is, who the quarterback is.
Is there a coach that you have that you really hate, like a college coach or a professional coach, like a Lane Kiffin or Urban Meyer?
Yeah, I've always, Lane Kiffin.
So if Lane Kiffin was the head coach of the Broncos, would you be like, and they're winning? Oh, I love that guy.
I would definitely go like, yeah, this guy has no soul, and I can't wait for him to screw over the Broncos. But boy, I will be rooting for him while he's wearing the beautiful orange and blue.
There's not, I'm just trying to think if there's coaches, like Urban Meyer, never really a big fan of his, but not, I didn't really dislike him until his stint with Jacksonville and then the whole bar thing and didn't go home with the team, didn't get on the plane with the team. I didn't like that stuff, but it's Adazio, a lot of people hated him. I didn't hate him. There's really not a lot of... Oh, Ed McCaffrey was tough for me to deal with, yeah. I would say Ed McCaffrey was difficult, which sucks because that's a childhood hero of mine. Turns out, don't meet some of your heroes, man. I was never a big fan of Ed.
I was an Ed McCaffrey fan first, but I gravitated more towards Rod Smith because I liked Rod Smith's personality.
Great.
And also, that dude, he just... caught everything that went his way.
When I was doing some radio stuff in Denver, I had several opportunities to talk with Rod Smith, and he's great. He's excellent. But I tell you, with the Ed McCaffrey thing, what turned south quickly was when we did the first coaches show. When he was announced as the head coach, he did his press conference, and there our guy, not even me, our guys sat there with the booth. They went through all the work to plug in the equipment, to make sure everything sounded right. We carried the press conference, and they were supposed to get the first hit with Ed McCaffrey as the voice of the Bears. And where did Ed go? He left. He walked outside, grabbed a cell phone, jumped on a Denver station because he's friends with those guys. And that bothered me. And then we did the coaches show, the very first coaches show. Didn't show up. Called in. Phoned it in. People came out to the restaurant to meet Ed McCaffrey at the coaches show. He was promised to be there. Did not show up. And on the air, he said, well, I'm sorry, I have practice. I got to get this team better. So that's where that relationship began, and it just all kind of went south after that.
Yeah, a lot of red flags. Like there are some things that you can hate about people, like, you know, the most recent CSU head coach who said some nice things about Al Davis, and frankly, that rubbed me the wrong way.
Who is this? Oh, Jay Norvell. Yeah,
Norvell,
but you dislike people for video game stupid stuff. Like, oh, they beat my football team. I don't like them. That's not real. I'm talking about coaches that pissed me off. That's why
that pissed me off.
But that's dumb. That's a child thing. Like, I don't like you because you were a Raiders guy. Give me a reason.
Yes, that's good quality sports hate.
That's not, it's dumb. I like sports hate, but you take it too far. Go Pokes. What will you forgive Sean after he loses to Buffalo? then it gets harder to take. Go Poke says, what do you know about downhill? Well, I bet you go faster. I'm also told that if you were being chased by a bear, you run downhill because the bears can't really balance going down. So I think they stumble and maybe fall or something. So if you are being chased by a bear, make sure you find a place where you can run downhill. That's what I would have brought up to Sean Payton. What do I know about downhill? Yeah, find it when a bear is chasing you, Sean.
If it's a black bear, you have to pretend to be really big and ferocious. That will hopefully scare it off. And if it's a brown bear, pretend to be dead.
No, all of those you run downhill. What about a grizzly bear? I'm pretty sure you run downhill. That works for every predator.
I don't know what you do with a polar bear.
Run downhill.
Give it a Coca-Cola, maybe.
They will slide down the hill, though, and get faster, but they'll pass you in the process. So then you're safe. Then you
and
climb
then you
back
can
uphill.
Hand it the Coke, and it'll smile.
If you're in the ocean and you're being attacked by a great white, swim downhill. Same thing. They lose their balance.
Or maybe you can punch it in the nose. I think Mythbusters, I think they covered that.
They said you couldn't do that. You could poke it in the eye. Poke it in the eye, wasn't it?
I don't remember that episode that well.
Like, if you were being attacked by a shark, there was a movie or something, and a guy, like, started punching it in the eye. And that, like, screwed him up, and the shark swam away. You couldn't do it. It's too crazy. A shark is ripping you to shreds. It's so fast. There's no way you could have the wherewithal to punch it in the eye.
Besides, you're probably not going to get attacked by a great white. They only want, like, what they hunt. They will only eat you if they think you are their prey.
You get attacked by great whites if you are in their area during the feeding times, even if they don't smell your blood or whatever. I've watched enough Shark Week to know, bro. Don't test me on this. If you are in shark infested waters during their feeding time, which is a lot of, around sunset, they will come get you. They will come get you. If you're not around feeding time, then maybe they swim on by and they leave you alone. A little friendly advice there for you, Mike.
I will not be going anywhere near shark infested waters, so I will be okay with that.
Swim downhill. That's what I would say to Sean. Not a major problem with Sean's response to that. It's just kind of who he is. And you're right. The texter from Mike earlier, he's not a good dude. Maybe. I don't know. Bounty Gate, they all cheat, Mike. They all find ways to cheat. How much was Sean really involved? He claimed he wasn't, but it was under his watch. The NFL believed he did enough, so they suspended him for a year.
Didn't they kick, like, Greg Williams out
for a
life?
While? He got back, didn't he? I thought he got back.
I thought he was supposed to be banned for life.
It was indefinitely, but he was out for a while. I thought he got back. Joe Pokes is laying it on thick, man. He's going for the Bills. The Broncos will be in shark-infested water this Saturday. Okay, so I stole a question from Tanner and Brian yesterday. Thank you. Greatest playoff moment, Mike. There's the picture. John Elway helicopter, Von Miller strip sack of Cam Newton, or Demaryius Thomas Tebow connection to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime. Which one's the greatest moment?
Elway. No question.
Zero question?
Zero question.
Even with Demaryius Thomas and the tragic end of his life, all that kind of mixed in, that doesn't
kind of... Zero question.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Let's talk about that. I like to steal things from other people. It's part of my thing. It's the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Man, that was a long segment. I don't even know what we talked about. That was fun.
I think we talked about everything.
I think we did. I threw out the question on the plays, the moments, and of course, anytime you do this, why didn't you put this on there? The drive? Is that a moment? The drive a moment?
If you stretch out the definition, yes, but I don't count it as a moment.
The reason I think the Elway helicopter and the Von Miller strip sack are number one and two, what did it lead to? What did those plays lead to? Super Bowl wins. The Demaryius Thomas, I think there's a lot of the sentimental value in that play because he's gone and we loved Demaryius Thomas.
And both the radio and TV calls were great.
They were amazing. And it was an amazing play. But let's face the facts. They lost to they got smoked by the Patriots. Wasn't it the Patriots?
Yeah.
The very next game. 51 minutes after the hour. A lot to talk about. So much to get to. So little time. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
No joker, no problem. Hear the nuggets on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
That's another thing Sean Payton said yesterday. Myth number three, I believe he said, was that playoff experience doesn't exist. Basically, when we say the old adage of, well, they were in the playoffs and they've got guys on this roster that have been in the playoffs before, it maybe is a positive for that team. He said that's not a real thing. I guess he would know. But I've heard other NFL coaches say the opposite. So I suppose it depends on who you ask.
I would tend to disagree with our coach on that one. I think playoff experience does matter.
Is Sean Payton the jerkiest coach the Broncos have ever had? Is he worse than Josh McDaniels?
No, I would say Josh McDaniels.
As far as personality, I'm not talking about like skill set, but personality.
No, Josh McDaniels is probably worse, but I think
I don't recall his press conferences being like that. I don't recall him like knocking reporters left and right. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he's a jerk in other ways. 11:57 the time. Top stories of the day are coming up. Also, I want to talk about Steve Bisciotti just throwing haymakers yesterday. Just telling truth bombs, Mike. We'll talk about that coming up. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.